This is your podcast for all things refinishing. I'm Lane Ball with Zebras Before and After. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 37. Are you somewhat new to the refinishing business and you have run into challenges that you wonder if anyone else has experienced? Well, today we chat with the winners of the Zebra Review September Contest of Distressed is Best, and they not only discuss their winning pieces, but they also share common challenges that beginners face. We talk with the Fall Zebra Furniture Flip host, Jen Talley, about this exciting flip challenge. Sarah with Pop Salvage shares a refinishing tip on lining your doors with fabric. We'll find out what Yana with A Freckled Farmhouse, Rosie with Rosie's Rustics, and Deb with My Stroke of Whimsy are working on in their studios this week. Stay with us. We have the inspiration, fun, and community that will platform your day. Everyone loves a good challenge, and this industry is no different. That's why we get excited with each month, because each month brings a new Zebra Review-themed contest. The theme for September was all about furniture distressing. Distressed is best. Today, we highlight our three winners, and each of them discuss the ins and outs of each of their pieces and how they arrived at a winning result. And in our panel discussion, they talk about some of the challenges they faced when starting out in the business. September was here, but now it's gone. Now that we are in October, it's time to hear from our September Zebra Review winners. Our theme, by the way, was Distressed is Best. I'll introduce our winners and then we'll have a chat. First place goes to Candy with Orchids True Blue. Second place goes to Tiffany with Reclaim, Reimagine, Refinish. And third place goes to Morgan with Ingrained Furniture. Congratulations, winners, and well done.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lane.
Thank you.
Listen, it's so good to have you all on the podcast. Now, you guys didn't get distressed working on your distressed pieces, did you?
No.
No, not really.
Hopefully it was the opposite, right? Working on a distressed piece brought peace and comfort, and you enjoyed it. It was therapeutic.
It was.
I really do feel that way about my distressed pieces. They are my favorite to work on.
That is just so cool. Well, I tell you what, they sure are fun to look at. They are beautiful pieces and they're wonderful. And you know, when you look at all the different categories of furniture refinishing styles, I have to say that distressed ranks at the top for me. You know, this is the time of year when weather can be all over the place, hot one day and cold the next. Let's start off finding out where each of you live and what your weather's like today. We'll go ahead and start with Morgan. Morgan, you live in South Carolina. What part?
I do. I live in Charleston, South Carolina. And this time of year, we say that we get to experience all four seasons in one day. So it starts really cold in the morning. Then by noon, it's a hot summer day. And then in the evening, we're back to fall. So it's a fun time of year for sure.
That is so well said. Never heard that before. That is brilliant.
Yes, always dress in layers in the fall in the South.
Yeah, for sure. Now, how far are you from the downtown area?
I just live about 5 minutes from downtown Charleston.
Now, are you from Charleston?
I'm originally from the middle of South Carolina. I'm actually in Charleston to go to dental school down here at the Medical University. So I live close to downtown because that's where I go to school every day.
Now, you have to tell us, how in the world are you doing dental school and accomplishing all that you're accomplishing with furniture refinishing? That is crazy.
That is the big question that everyone wants to know. The short answer is I don't sleep much.
I am sure.
But the long answer is I found that during dental school, I wasn't being able to get out a lot of my creativity. I've always loved art. I was actually one credit hour away from an art minor in college. And so it's always been a huge part of my life. And when I came to Charleston, I didn't really have an outlet and I found furniture and I will never go back. I love it.
Well, you certainly can tell you love it by your pieces. And that's pretty cool that you're able to balance your creativity with the school side. I'm sure that really helps out by giving you a release from the stress of school.
Oh, totally. Yes. Couldn't have said it better.
Now, have you had a chance to meet Courtney with Steel Birch Studios?
I haven't yet. I am a huge fan of her work. I so admire her. I think we might go to the same thrift store sometimes, so I've tried to find her, but I would love to reach out to her and just catch up. I've thought about just getting coffee with her just because she's such a role model of mine.
Oh, yeah, you should do that. I mean, I'm sure she would enjoy that. It's nice to link arms with folks that are in the same industry who live nearby. You guys could meet up periodically and just share your furniture refinishing war stories.
Yeah, there's always some good stories.
For sure. So we talked about experiencing the four seasons in one day. So I'm curious, what did you top off today with your temperature?
I think it was probably around mid-80s at noon. That was probably where we started. But it's kind of interesting with furniture work because it makes things a little bit more difficult because I like to work earlier in the morning when it's cooler. And so my dry time changes so much with that. But yeah, it's different.
Yeah, 80s, mid-80s. I wonder what your coolest temp was in the night. Like maybe 50s? Because, I mean, it got in the 40s here.
Yeah, probably in the 50s. Yep.
Yeah, that is a big temperature swing. That is crazy.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Tiffany, you live in Oklahoma. What part of Oklahoma?
So I am just outside of Oklahoma City, considered the Oklahoma City metro area, but technically I live in Moore.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's funny when you think about a city and your proximity can be rather close, yet it can take you a long time depending on the time of day.
So it very much does depend on the traffic. To go downtown, what I would consider downtown, the Bricktown area, normally about 15 to 20 minutes, but if I'm headed towards paint or where most furniture pieces would probably come from, we call that more of the north side, and that's a good 45 minutes, not during rush hour traffic.
So are you from Oklahoma?
Yes, you could say that. So my family is from Oklahoma, but I became an Army brat at age 9, and we didn't come back until I was 15. And then when I was 21, my husband was in the Army, and we left Oklahoma, and we just actually came back last year. So I've spent probably more of my life away from Oklahoma than I have in it, but I do consider it home.
Yeah, and you probably lived in a lot of different places.
A little bit.
Nice to be home now?
Yes. This was a choice for us. After the Army, we landed right on the Alabama-Georgia line for about 10 years. So last year when COVID really hit, we decided that was prime opportunity to bring our kids home to where their cousins and grandparents are. And it is absolutely the best decision that we could have made.
Yeah, I'm sure your parents were cheering you guys on and wanted to be with you and your kids.
Oh, there were lots of happy tears.
Oh, I bet so. Well, what's the weather like where you're at?
So I think we topped out right around 75 today, but kind of like Charleston, it's the confusing time of year. You wake up and it's 55 and then the temperature swings 25 to 35 degrees. This is the windy time of year when the wind starts to kick in. So it's one of those where you wake up in the morning and you don't know if you're driving the kids to school or if they're riding their bikes. And they might do one thing in the morning and you're picking them up in the afternoon. So
do you get a lot of beautiful colors there?
Yes. And it snuck up on me this year. We sit at the end of a cul-de-sac and, so there's a tree that you can see when you look right out the kitchen window. And I just looked up one day and I was like, oh wow, the tree is red now. I was like, that's so cool. It changed just like in a matter of a week. But yes, this time of year, we are getting kind of all of the colors at one time. So it is, it's really pretty, but it won't last for very long.
Yeah, I just want to put things on pause, especially when those trees reach their peak. I mean, they are just so brilliant. You don't want to see them fall, the leaves anyway.
Right.
So Candy, you live in Illinois?
I do.
What part?
I live in a suburb called Evanston. It's just right north of Chicago.
Yeah, everybody's just really close to the cities in this group. So how far are you to Chicago?
Yeah, about 20, 20 miles to like downtown Chicago. And if you hit the right time and you get to drive down Lakeshore Drive, it takes maybe 20 minutes and it's nice. Yes.
Really, that is a beautiful drive.
But if you hit traffic, then it takes, you know, over an hour.
Yeah, you just have to time it right. So are you from Illinois?
No, not originally. We moved out here about 6 years ago so I could study at the Art Institute of Chicago for counseling and art therapy. But we have lived a few different places. Both my husband and I are from Indiana originally. We didn't meet until we were in college in Michigan. But yeah, we're from the Midwest.
Wow, what neat studies. So have you completed your studies there?
I did. I finished in 2018. And I practiced art therapy for a while. And that's a story for another day. That was definitely a long, long, fun journey.
Oh, sure.
I still feel like I'm in therapeutic arts, doing furniture work, but not necessarily like practicing therapy.
Yeah, but you were not doing furniture at that time?
No, I was working on containers. And I think furniture can be metaphorically like this big container. And I have done a lot of woodwork in the past in mixed media. But no, I was not refinishing furniture.
So what's the weather like north of Chicago?
Well, today is perfect. The last couple of days, it's been perfect. It's been in the 70s and it's been a little windy and it's a perfect day to like work outside on furniture. But the last few weeks have been so rainy and wet. It's just, it's nice that fall is here. I just wish it would last a little longer.
Yeah, 70s is so ideal, isn't it? It's like the perfect weather.
Oh, yeah.
Well, listeners, stay tuned because after we discuss their pieces, we're going to have a panel discussion on common challenges that beginners face. Also, you can see these pieces by going to our enjoyzebra.com site and scroll to the bottom and click on podcast. Candy, you won first place with your Jacobean buffet. What a cool piece and what beautiful results. Describe for our listeners and share the details.
Thank you so much. Wow, that piece was, it was a pure joy to work on, honestly. This hutch or this buffet was 6 feet long. It had these gorgeous two doors, two side paneled doors with this floral millwork. Mm-hmm. Super beautiful, detailed floral pieces. And that's what caught my eye initially. I picked this piece up, this piece, and it's like Sister Hutch up in a thrift shop. And I got a fabulous deal on them. And I didn't know what I was going to do initially until it sat around for a little bit in my studio. And at the end of September, when I was like, okay, I can probably do a milk paint on this piece and it would look really beautiful because it was in fabulous condition. Mm-hmm. So I ended up sanding down the top and refinishing it in like a black wash. The black went into the grain. Mm-hmm. And I put a poly on top. So it was nice and sealed and beautiful. And then I used black milk paint for the first time. It chipped absolutely beautifully. This distress buffet, working with the milk paint was definitely a freedom piece for me. I had been working with black paint all month. And this was the very first time I have used milk paint. And I've heard stories and I've watched other artists use it. And so I kind of just went through my mind and memory of like their experience. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to go for it and try it. And yeah.
That's crazy, Candy. You won first place.
Well, it was a beautiful piece. Honestly, I could have submitted that piece and it would have won first place. It was just, that piece was gorgeous.
Yeah, it really is a unique piece, but hats off to you because you chose the right things to do to it to really enhance it even further. Now, were you like, really nervous when you started applying the milk paint?
No, I don't think so. But you know what a funny thing is? When working with mixing paints, you have to use like distilled water. And we don't really drink like bottled water. And my neighbor had, you know, gifted us you know, a case of water, and I didn't know that it was lemon, like lemon flavored.
Really?
And I used that water for the milk paint. I didn't know later on until I was in my studio and I took like a swig of the bottle of water. So I don't know if that had any kind of effect or not, but it still worked.
Oh, that's so interesting. Now, I guess the lemon flavor was so light you couldn't smell it, you know, but I thought you were going to say it had this really pleasant lemony scent to it.
That'd be nice too.
So you found this piece in a thrift shop at a good price. I am really surprised hearing that because, you know, so many are talking about how hard it is right now to find pieces at good prices. I mean, how long ago did you purchase this piece?
I actually got it on my anniversary. I got it in July. I was supposed to go get my nails done and decided to go to the thrift store instead.
Oh, it paid off.
It really did. Honestly, I find the best pieces here at thrift stores, and I hope that doesn't go away. But I hear that our this chain of thrift stores is going to stop accepting furniture. So things may change in the future.
No way. That's too bad. It must be too much for logistics purposes, getting stuff in, because that was the next question I was going to ask you. Is, you said it's like 6 feet wide. Looks like it would be incredibly heavy.
Oh yeah. It was definitely very heavy. It's massive.
Yeah, it's funny. I noticed on one of your reels that you showed this beauty being carried away by the shippers.
Mm-hmm. That was my brother-in-law and husband, actually.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. Well, you had it wrapped up really nice. I bet that's kind of bittersweet feeling, you know? I mean, something you worked so hard and it turned out so nice is leaving you, but then you've sold it. And that means your work is in demand, and that's a compliment to get somebody to buy it. It's kind of interesting, complex of emotions, probably.
Yeah, I think that initially when I started, it was hard for me to let pieces go. And I'm still new at this, but I have like this goal of refinishing my shop so that I can do more things. So I'm so excited when pieces leave right now. I was like, I couldn't wait to get it on the truck. I was ready for it to go and go into somebody else's house.
Yeah, well, I suppose that is just experience kicking in now. You're ready to get to the next piece. Candy, if you would, describe your style for us.
That's interesting. I think that I am whimsical, but I have this draw to like these very old Victorian pieces. But I like to have like a modern twist on them. So maybe a modern Vic. I don't know. I'm still learning.
Yeah. And that will probably continue to develop. So how long have you been refinishing?
2019 was when I really started for fun. But I started Orchids True Blue July of 2020.
Wow. So you have a little bit of experience, but you are still new too. So it's kind of like you're crossing that bridge, I guess, into the world of a pro. That's cool. Well, really nice work on this buffet, Candy. Congratulations. Share your Instagram account with our listeners.
Yeah, I'm at Orchids True Blue. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook, also on Pinterest, and hopefully soon I'll open a YouTube account.
Excellent. Well, Tiffany, you won second place. I don't believe I have ever seen a piece like this. It is really quite cool. Describe it to our listeners and share your refinishing experience with it.
Thank you. Okay, so I guess this is probably like a 1930s, maybe 1940s. It's not really a dresser, but I think it definitely had a mirror on the back of it. Maybe it's called like a dressing table. It has the, it did not come with the mirror. So all I had was just the dresser piece. It's five drawers. The bottom drawer is very deep and it goes the full length of the piece. And then on top of that, it has two center drawers that were, if I remember the measurements right, they were just like 1 inch deep. But then they were, pretty long, and then it's got two smaller drawers out to the side of it. I don't know, it's kind of hard to describe, and I'm looking at the picture right now. But then it is, it has kind of those curved legs, like the Empire style curved legs, and it's really now it's like the perfect TV console size. It's just like the perfect width and height for the TV console if you're not going to mount your TV above the fireplace. And then, so that bottom drawer is curved and the skirt kind of does that serpentine style. This piece, I found it on Marketplace and I watched it for, about a week. And I was really surprised that nobody else had snatched it up. And I went and picked it up on a Wednesday. And it was one of those where I picked it up on a Wednesday or maybe a Thursday and I brought it home and I just immediately started working on it. And I tend to do the best with those pieces. And I just like started pulling it out and washing it right away. And I'm really terrible about that, not taking the before picture so that I get like this full transformation of before and after. But it also on one of the legs, it has a crack all the way down it where somebody else had, I guess it had come apart and somebody else had previously, you know, glued it back together or whatever. And then, so I also used milk paint on this. I was kind of going through a phase where I didn't want to buy any new product. I wanted to use what I had on hand because I had so much left over from previous pieces. And I saw this one and I knew immediately that green would be perfect on it, but I was not looking for chipping. I don't know. I just, chipping isn't my thing. And I think I said this when I actually listed it, that I wasn't looking for chipping. I wanted more of the milk paint variation in color tone. And I definitely got that, but there's chipping. When you look at the picture, you can see that the chipping that I did get was on the inside of the legs. And I think it was perfect. It was the perfect amount of chipping for me to be comfortable with.
Did you use a bonding agent with it at all?
No, I'm trying to think how many pieces I've done with milk paint, maybe four, and I've never used a bonding agent.
Did you sand this piece down? I mean, because it is surprising the lack of chipping. The paint adhered to the piece pretty well.
I did. So the top I did sand it completely down, I believe. But then the front of the drawers and the sides, I think I might have lightly sanded, you know, just with a 220 grit, but nothing heavy.
And how many coats of milk paint?
I did two coats.
Gotcha. So you put your first coat on, let it dry, and then you painted your second coat. When did you see the chipping? After your first coat?
It was after the first coat, and I think I, like, fingers crossed and tried to get the second coat to stick to those spots on the legs, and it just wasn't. And then there were a couple of spots on the top where I had to do some Bondo, and I had just enough milk paint left over to like add more water to the cup and dredge my brush up and down in it just to get enough coverage, because I had done the Bondo and then I had done like a clear coat on top of it. And so I didn't get it didn't fully cover. Mm-hmm. So I did have to do a few touch-ups there, but mostly it was just two coats.
Yeah, gotcha. Then you also took on a challenge on this piece, because I believe if I read correctly in your IG stories or your post that you had some structural repairs. You had to replace a drawer bottom.
Yes, I did. And I have never done that before. My best friend and her husband own a tile company. And I was like, listen, I know that you don't do wood, but what do I need to do to fix this right now? And so she kind of, and Candy and I were talking about this before we started the podcast, she kind of led me down the direction of what I will actually need in the future. But I did. I cut the wood to replace the bottom of these drawers with a multi-tool. And it took forever, but I did it and I felt so good afterwards. I think at one point, like, I yelled to Wanda, which is from Fried Green Tomatoes. But yeah, doing those new things, it feels so, it's scary at first, but when you finish it, you feel so empowering, or at least I do. I feel so empowered. So yeah.
Is this piece sold?
Oh, it sold almost immediately.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Describe your style for us, Tiffany.
That's hard. I don't know that I really have one yet, but I think distressed is probably more where I land right now. Partly, I think there's aspects of the more of the modern look that I struggle to get. And so I really beat myself up. So I prefer to go more with the distressed look, just because I do this for fun. I do this for like hobby and therapy. And so I don't want to stress myself out with trying to get a perfectly finished piece. But yeah, I like the distressed. I like getting that distressed look. I'm learning that I gravitate more towards those, the muted, bold colors. So like this, you know, deep green, but not one that's bright and shiny. Definitely not pastels or whites. I don't like those.
So you kind of know those earth tones.
Yeah, definitely earth tones.
And how long have you been refinishing?
Right at a year. I think my IG birthday's coming up. And I was on Facebook first. I did a couple of pieces last summer for my house and started selling them, but right at a year.
Well, you do really, really good work. This piece is really handsome. Nice job and congratulations.
Thank you.
Share your Instagram account with our listeners.
It is Reclaim, Reimagine, Refinish, and the same thing on Facebook.
Great. Morgan, you won third place. Another great job. This is like a small cabinet, and you did a number of really cool things to it. Describe it and then share the details.
Yeah, so this is, I think, originally an oak washstand, but it's missing the drying rack on top. So it has two cabinet doors and then a drawer with the original wood handles. And, the sides just have nice wooden accents to it. I actually found this piece at a antique sale in my neighborhood, just kind of like an estate sale. And I wandered in early on a Friday morning and saw this, and someone actually had painted the wood white. And so initially I didn't think I was going to buy it because I hesitate to buy previously painted pieces, but it just really captured my eye, just the unique simplicity of the piece. And so I went for it. And when I brought it home, I thought, okay, I can strip it down to the oak or I can paint it. And then that, you know, the challenges of painting over paint started rolling through my head. So I was like, okay, I might just strip it down. But as I was sanding over, I just had this feeling that I needed to paint this piece. And so I changed gears again. And instead of stripping with my sander, I did like a scuff sand over the white paint. And then I did a deep, like, hunter green that I mixed up. I am a huge fan of, like, mixing colors and just seeing what can be made. And so I did that. And I painted the entire piece green. And I thought it was great. But then I was like, I'm going to mess with it with my orbital sander, which is always trouble. But I always love to do that. And so I just took my orbital sander to it and hit a few spots that I thought could be distressed. And so I went over those and I loved it. And then my sister was actually over that day and she saw how the doors had the inset in them. And she said, you know what? I think you should use some of that wallpaper you love. And I was like, that's genius. That's just what this needs. And so I have a textured wallpaper that I use, and I put that on the front of the doors. And it just coordinated perfectly with the original wood handles. And when I put the white wallpaper on, it was too stark with the green color of the piece. And so I actually dry brushed over the wallpaper with the green just to kind of blend it all out. So total, I put wallpaper, distressed with my orbital sander, dry brushed, and painted. So I feel like I covered so many techniques with that, this one piece. And it was so small, but mighty, you know?
Yeah, exactly. How did you get the wallpaper to adhere to the piece?
So I love wallpaper. I've tried several different types of wallpaper, peel and stick, or just traditional with paste. And I've found that for me and my hands, traditional wallpaper paste will work best for me. So I put it on the back of the wallpaper, place it on the surface that I want it to be on, and then I just take a really soft old t-shirt and go over the wallpaper instead of a hard surface like a credit card, because I don't want it to tear.
And that's pretty cool. And so the look that we see is the dry brushing of the green on top of the white wallpaper.
You're exactly right, which coordinates with the white originally painted on the piece when I distressed with my orbital sander.
I bet when you got done with this, you're like, oh, that's it. It's sealed.
Yes. Yes. It was definitely one of those where you step back and you're like, oh, I love when my vision comes together like this.
Exactly. Now, did you sell this piece pretty quickly? Do you still have it?
I sold this so quickly, and I regret that because I would have loved to have kept this, but I sold this to a repeat customer, and she's been wonderful to me. So that was a blessing.
Wow, that's great. Describe your style for us, Morgan.
I would say that I am like classic with a touch of French eclectic. That's kind of different, but I love like French style, super ornate, but with really classic colors like creams and beiges and whites.
How long have you been refinishing?
I started doing my own personal furniture probably about 6 years ago. Uh-huh. And then last fall, I put a picture of a piece I had done for myself up on Facebook, and someone messaged me and wanted to buy it. And I said, I don't think anyone would want to buy my furniture. But I had a bunch of friends encourage me just to make an Instagram. And so that was November of 2020. So it's been a little less than a year that I've been doing furniture for others, and I've learned a ton, but still kind of new to it.
Really cool story. You did a lovely job on this piece, Morgan. Share your Instagram account or other social media venues with our listeners.
So my Instagram is @ingrainedfurniture with an E, and then that's the same for my Facebook.
We're going to take a quick break to hear from a fan of our sponsor.
Hi, this is Jen from Vintage Sisters, and this podcast is sponsored by our friends at Zebra. Where do I begin to share our favorite things about Zebra paintbrushes? Let's start with our favorite brush, the square. Hands down, we don't do a project without one. We love this brush for getting into grooves, corners, and detailed edges. Zebra brushes come in a variety of shapes and sizes, and they're very affordable, so that price point is an added bonus. When you get the chance to try one out and see for yourself what a flawless finish they can help you achieve with your project, we're confident that you'll be hooked on them as well.
Thanks, Jen. We appreciate you and Amanda, and we love that you love our brushes. Now back to our interview with the Zebra Review winners. It's time for our Zebra panel discussion. Everyone starts out in the furniture refinishing industry as a beginner. One of the advantages of starting out today is that there's a very strong and supportive community that is willing to help at every step. One of the purposes of this podcast is to provide a platform for the novice to learn and for the pro to continue to grow. With that said, today's topic is common challenges beginners face in furniture refinishing. There are a number of challenges, as you can imagine, so we are only covering a few here on today's podcast. To let you all know, we are introducing a new segment to the podcast called The Beginner's Bucket. Its purpose is to address some of the common questions by beginners And we want to thank Tara with Resurrected Peace for emailing us with this idea. If you have any questions that you would like answered on the podcast, feel free to email me and we'll have a pro answer them. So panelists, let's discuss a few of these challenges.
Okay, so there's been a few challenges that I faced, and I think right now, one of my biggest challenges is kind of deciding what pieces I want to have in my studio to refinish and what pieces that I'll leave for somebody else to refinish. So initially, when I started to feel like this is going to be my career, I took every opportunity to find like a good deal. And I was like, yes, I'll take that. I'll take that. I'll take that. And quickly, my 2.5 garage was full of like furniture that I couldn't get to fast enough. So right now I am trying to decide like, okay, I can keep 3 pieces in here at a time so I can have some more breathing room and I can do the job more efficiently. Of course, I learned how to work with different tools. Initially, when I started out, I was using a sheet sander to sand, and I loved it. And quickly, I realized that I needed to get an orbital, and I needed to just try different tools and techniques so that I could get the job done efficiently. I don't know if you've seen one of my recent reels. I was showing like some of my favorite tools. I love like the circular saw and I love working with the router. I think when you're new to refinishing, you got to take every opportunity to like watch other refinishers or DIYers or woodworking people and ask questions. I think that part of who I am is like a person that wants to constantly learn, and I'm not afraid of asking questions. So when I follow like specific mentors, either on Facebook or on Instagram, I'll follow their work and I'll ask them questions and I'll learn from them. And quickly I was able to learn how to do certain things and use different tools.
Yeah. Same. I think when I got started, when I realized I was going to do this, I did. I rushed out and I grabbed pieces that I at least thought were good deals and then got them home and realized that I was in over my head. I didn't have like this tool or that tool or had no clue what I was doing with that piece. And I came in to this just completely clueless. Didn't know, you know, that there was a necessarily like a right or a wrong type of paint to use, or even that you could just buy new hardware. I don't know why, because I love Hobby Lobby, but I had no idea that there were knobs at Hobby Lobby and you could just go buy them and put them on your piece of furniture and it was fine to do that. I didn't know. I really didn't even know that there was a community on Instagram for this until I found the Zebra podcast. And that was an accident. I think I just like searched one day and when I was bored, like furniture painting or something, and this podcast happened to come up. So it's some of the same things that Candy said, just, And for me, I think I was really quick to kind of get caught up in some of the trends that were going on. I think at one point people were showing like their hordes of furniture and I was like, oh, I don't have hordes of furniture. I need hordes of furniture. And so like I got into that and then yeah, my garage was full. My husband was like, pump the brakes because you're out of space and this is my office. And so, yeah, now I have a storage unit and I have pieces over there. I was talking with Candy earlier. You know, I have pieces over there now that, like, I need a router because I have broken drawers and those pieces have been over there for 6 months. Because I just don't have the tools to do what needs to be done with them. So that's, if I could tell refinishers that are new to this one thing, it's don't rush too quickly into following a ton of other refinishers. Find a few that have been around for a while that you can actually learn from and watch what they do. And I think that's right along the lines of what Candy was saying. Find some mentors. I have a couple that have been around a really long time, and then I have a couple that I know are new. Because if they're learning, I like to see what they're learning too. I think it gets very easy for us to watch someone who's been doing this, you know, 5, 7, 10 years and get discouraged by the fact that they are able to do something so well. And if I could prop up like one person in particular, Amy at Panolo Designs does a really, really great job of walking people through all of those new things that she's learning. And sometimes I find myself learning the same things that she is. So she's one of those, you know, newer people, that I like to follow. Just, she's so good at teaching. I don't know if she's ever been a teacher, but she is. And also, like, don't get caught up in those social media trends, because those might not be you. And at the end of the day, you have to be authentic to you, or furniture painting is not going to work for you.
I think that both of those, all of that's mentioned so far, has been so good. I definitely relate to lack of space and just taking on projects that are way too big. I think one thing that comes to my mind that I had to learn very early on, and Tiffany, you kind of talked about it, was time management. If I take on a piece that's going to take me 40 hours to strip veneer off and make repairs and then prime and then paint, and, right. I mean, that is just not worth it to me. There was a time where I think I would have taken on a project like that, and I probably would have been wrong in doing that. Because furniture refinishing isn't just about actually painting the piece. You need to find the piece, then you need to bring it home or bring it to your studio, then you need to prep, which is so key, and then you need to actually do the painting. But you're not done there. You also need to stage it and sell it, and then you need to get it to wherever the buyer is. So there's so many pieces and parts that go into it, and sometimes I think we focus so hard on the actual refinishing that we don't give ourselves time for the rest of the process. And that was something that that's definitely something I'm still learning. Tiffany mentioned drawer tracks, and that has been something that I had to really learn the hard way, was to make sure when I'm buying furniture, I look at the drawer tracks and I decide if they're in a state that I can repair or if I just need to move on. And then the other thing that I was going to mention is something that I think is super important, is to make sure that you are staging your work in a way that you want it to be. In other words, don't rush through the staging because you want to get on to your next piece. Actually take the time to think about and dream about what you think would fit well with the piece itself. I am a huge fan of Sarah at Sitting Pretty Home Decor. I feel like I've learned immensely from her. And one of the things that she talked about one day on Instagram was making a little board for ideas of how she was going to stage a piece. And if you look at her pieces, they're staged perfectly. And so I think that thinking through staging and really making that a focus of your time is key.
I agree. And, you know, on the topic of staging, I put off a staging wall for a very long time. And I know a lot of people, you know, some people do it in their home. They don't have a staging wall and that works for them. But I just didn't have the right lighting. And if you go back and look at some of the earlier pictures on my feed, they're not good. And it's mostly because of the lighting. Like I did, you know, all of the staging well, or at least I thought well, but the lighting wasn't good. And Sarah was actually talking about this not too long ago that, you know, your color completely changes based on your lighting. And, you know, I would take a piece from one room to another and it would look completely different. And so it was like the happiest day ever when I built my staging wall and put a piece of furniture up against it and took a picture. And it was like a whole new world. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, it was not a big investment. And mine is permanent and it has a dual purpose. I work full time from home and I do a lot of Google meetings. So it's kind of like the backdrop for where I work. But it was 100% worth it because I don't think I would be on this podcast if I had taken the pictures in my living room like I was a year ago.
Yeah, I agree about staging too. I mean, it took me a while to get a staging wall, to be honest. Like I would stage my pieces outside just as long as I had like that natural light in the piece. And it was probably less about entering a zebra contest. I didn't even know about it, honestly. Not for a while, but it was more about, you know, having the piece look presentable so somebody's going to want to buy it. And if you don't have a staging wall at first, that's okay. But it was a big game changer for me when I finally was able to sheetrock some, like a big open area near my door in my garage so I could let that natural light come in. And I wanted to touch on another bit about staging. This big buffet that I staged it three different ways. Like my initial way, I had three different paintings on it and it was just so my style and something that I would put in my house. So I had my art and some flowers and some sculpture, but then it took away from the piece. The piece was no longer the focal point. And I went back to like some of my mentors' pages and I was like, okay, how would they stage?
Yeah.
How would Sarah stage? To be honest, I went back to Sarah's page. I was like, how would she do this? And I feel like that's how we get inspiration from each other. And we have to be willing to be flexible and let go of control of something. I'm just talking about myself. I have to let go of some control of some things so that I can let the piece shine rather than me shine.
I agree.
Do you know what I mean?
I agree with you.
Totally. I think we can be so tempted to like grab whatever we can and use it and you know, there's been so many times I have literally put like 15 things on top of a piece and I'm like, what am I doing? This looks like a mess. But I think simplicity is such a good point. And that doesn't necessarily mean less things always. It just might mean simpler things on the piece.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I prefer to be simpler. And I find that when I leave my house and go hunting for things to stage, it just doesn't work out. And I think that's because it's not authentic to me. I'm a simple person when it comes to decorating. And I think that, like that just shows in my staging too.
I think too, like when you're out shopping for your furniture, if you go to thrift stores or wherever you go, don't be afraid to look for those little things that might be $3, $4, or $5 that you could just pick up and use, because you can keep a stash of those things where you're working too to stage with. And the majority of things that I stage with are things that I found at thrift stores along the way for like $2.
Definitely love thrifting too. I'm definitely not a minimalist though. I think I would prefer to be more of a maximalist when it comes to staging my pieces. But then you have to think critically, like, okay, this is going to affect your target audience. Of like, how are they going to see this in their space if it's covered with all of your precious things? So I think that's one of the things that I'm learning and struggling with still. And it's just finding that balance and being able to, you know, let go a little bit and see it in somebody else's space rather than in your own space.
Do you guys ever struggle with, I feel like, when I stage items, it comes off as more like feminine. And sometimes I get in this place where I don't think that a piece is like, I guess I don't want to box myself into just the female buyer. Or I guess maybe not even, I don't know. Sometimes I want things to appeal to someone who has more of a masculine taste, but then when I go to stage it, I'm like, that's so mm-hmm. girly. and like I do a dresser and I'm like, but this would be great in a boy room or a girl room. But then it ends up looking more feminine when I stage it, and I don't know how to get away from that.
Yeah.
Do you guys have that problem? Like, I don't know. Do you have that issue?
I feel like I might. Honestly, September was a breakthrough month for me because I only painted black. So I limited my palette down to just black. It allowed me to be creative in other ways. And I think black is such a neutral color that it allows you to play a little with staging and decorating and then designing your piece. So I'm wondering, like, your more feminine pieces, I know you trend on the earthy tones, but is it like the curves of the piece? Is it what is it that's feminine about it? Just the staging items?
I don't know. I don't know if it's the staging items or not. Probably. And the funny thing is that I have two boys. Like, I have two teenage boys, so I should be really good at, like, creating pieces for a boy room. And I think I just get stuck.
Let me add some insight into that. And I say that because if you recall, when I described your piece, I think you used the word handsome, Tiffany. And because this particular piece really appealed to me, as far as, like, wanting to have a piece like this in our house. And so my general comment to you is that, and you guys have all touched on this, you talked on the fact that simplicity is best when staging. Even if you stage something that has a feminine touch to it, but it's simple, it allows me to it allows me to get beyond the feminine side of it because I could still see the piece. And I think Candy said this really well earlier when she said, she had the three frames on that piece. She realized that the focus became on her things and not the piece. I mean, as long as you're keeping it simple, then we can see the piece and we can envision the piece in our own style, if that makes sense. That's really the golden stage in staging. I'm kind of laughing in my mind here because I'm thinking of the Vintage Sisters. That's really the golden rule in staging. And I'm kind of laughing in my mind here because as soon as I said that, I started thinking about the Vintage Sisters. And, you know, I guess for them, the golden rule doesn't apply because they have won two awards in the Golden Brush Awards and they are not simplistic in their staging style.
No, they're not.
But they do a really good job of capturing their piece and knowing what to stage with their pieces. And that really is another talent. But ultimately, the goal is to sell your piece. And if you keep it simple, potential customers will see beyond any staging prop that is feminine or masculine. And hopefully that helps, because honestly, when I look at your piece, I was captured by the masculine quality of the piece itself.
That really helps. Like, I've never had that feedback before besides my husband, and he doesn't count, right? Because he wants to keep everything. So it really helps to have that feedback from someone else that can see it from that perspective. Thank you, Lane.
Well, great panel discussion that I know will continue, especially with our new segment. I know you all brought so much to the table, and we are so grateful for you guys to take time out of your busy day to chat with us today. Congratulations, Candy, Tiffany, and Morgan. You all have definitely brought inspiration to the community. We are grateful for you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. It was fun.
Many of you have been eager for fall for many reasons, one of which is our Fall Zebra Furniture Flip. And today we chat with host Jen Talley about what is different about this challenge from our spring challenge. Hi, Jen. How are you?
Hi, Lane. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Well, Jen, fall is here, and we weren't going to think about the fact that winter is around the corner. We'll just focus on fall. How's that?
Oh my gosh. That sounds good to me. Right now, fall is in full bloom. It's beautiful here. We still have, you know, warm-ish weather. We get a few cold days in there, but man, I know what's coming next and I'm not looking forward to it. So
I know I'm kind of cringing for you because even though we can get some cold weather down here, it doesn't come close to the chill that you guys get up there. I mean, that's got to be kind of rough.
Yep, we're living in the frozen tundra, I'll tell you. It's
That's
cold.
For sure. Well, it's really great having you on to discuss the Fall Zebra Furniture Flip. Can you believe it?
I am so excited about it. I think the spring flip was so much fun, and we've been kind of talking about doing the second round of it, and it's here. I'm excited.
Well, listeners, if you are new to the Zebra Furniture Flip, Jen actually approached us last year with the idea, and we had our first furniture flip, as Jen mentioned, in the spring of this year. It was a lot of fun, and the way the flip worked in the spring is that we asked all refinishers who wanted to participate to go out and find an old, worn, and tattered piece of furniture, or as Jen called them, ugly ducklings, and folks entered their ugly duckling on our website. Then once the deadline came, Jen reviewed each of the entries to find the three ugliest, roughest pieces that would then be flipped. And the three participants chosen then had to flip their piece in a short amount of time, and we followed along for the process. And let's go ahead and give a shout out to those participants, Jeanette with Vintage Roots Painted, Candace with Casually Southern, and Jess with Refreshed by Jess were the three contestants. Once the three finished their pieces, the public voted for their favorite flip, and well, Jess with Refreshed by Jess won. All three did a great job. This time, we've changed it up a bit. Jen, why don't you tell our listeners how the fall flip will work?
Yeah, we decided to make a few changes. Like you said, Lane, when we did it in the spring, that was our very first time. So we were kind of learning as we went along and just kind of almost winging it just to see how it went. Mm-hmm. And it did go really great. It was so much fun. I loved every second of it. But we decided to make some changes. We wanted to open the actual flip part of it up to more people because that's the fun part, right? So in the spring, we only chose three that actually got to go ahead and flip their piece and share it with everybody. This time, we want to see more flips. We want to see more ugly ducklings turning into beautiful swans. So what we're going to do is whoever wants to participate in this, whoever has an ugly duckling or finds an ugly duckling, you can go ahead, start flipping it, and be entered into this competition. We kind of set some, we put some dates out there in the last post. But basically, what we're telling you guys is that starting right now, in fact, starting, I think it was what, last Friday when we first announced it, you can start searching for your ugly ducklings. I know a lot of furniture refinishers probably already have one or more in their stash. So if you have one and that's the piece that you want to use, go for it. If you're still looking for one, you know, do your duck hunting, like I say, and,
I love that.
And yeah, right. And just start flipping away. You can start on it right now. All that we ask for you to do, we have kind of three rules basically, is that you share, whether you share in your stories, whether you make a reel, an IGTV video, or a post, we want you guys to use our hashtag. Is it Zebra Furniture Flip?
Right. Zebra Furniture Flip.
Okay, I wasn't sure if there was the in there. So yes, it's Zebra Furniture Flip. And you guys have to use that hashtag. Otherwise, we will not know. We will not see that you're wanting to enter in this competition. So that's kind of your entry to get into this. So make sure you use that hashtag. And then you also want to tag both myself at Perfectly Imperfect Furnitures and Zebra Painting in whatever, you know, whatever posts or stories that you make. So that's kind of your way of getting in the competition. That way we will follow along with you guys. We will see what you're doing and we'll know, you know, kind of who's in it and all of that. We are going to periodically share in our stories what you guys have shared. We might do some check-ins with some of you guys just so that we can share with the public and everybody who's following along, because even if you're not participating in the flip, I know that so many people just loved following along in this process. So that's kind of step one, get your piece and start flipping it and start sharing it with us. Once you are done, our deadline is November 17th. Your ugly duckling must become a beautiful swan by November 17th, no later. And what we're going to ask you guys to do is you need to post a before and after picture of your piece on November 17th. If for some reason you want to post it before then, you know, because I know some people are selling their furniture or they want to get it out there as soon as possible, that's okay. But you also have to post it on November 17th in order to be entered into this competition. And I think that's going to be really fun because on that day, it's like your feed's going to blow up, you know, with all of these amazing transformations and before and afters. I think that's one of the things that so many of us in this industry, that's what we love to see. That's what we're excited about. So I'm really looking forward to November 17th. After that, I think I'm going to take a few days to go through the entries and look at all of we'll go through the hashtag and make sure that everybody has followed the rules. And then at that point, I'm going to choose my top three. And I said this in my stories before, but I'm not necessarily going to pick the ones that I think are the prettiest or the ones that appeal to my aesthetic or anything like that. What the three that I'm going to choose are going to be the three that I feel are the most dramatic makeovers. So something that a piece of furniture that somebody would look at and think, no way that should be in a burn pile. That should be on my curb, or I would never touch that. And all of a sudden it has become a piece that is desirable and people want in their home. So that's kind of what we're looking for. Once I pick those top three, we're going to get those out there so that you guys can see, and we're going to open it up to the public to decide which one of those three is their favorite.
Jen, I have a question for you.
Okay.
How in the world are you going to choose the three? I mean, you just said the most dramatic, but I really feel for you because that's going to be tough.
It is, and it will be, and it was hard last time. It was really hard, and I think this one's probably going to be a little bit more difficult just because with the first go around, I only saw the before, but right. I think seeing the before and afters, wow, I think it might take a while, but it'll be fun.
Yeah, you got your work cut out for you, but like you said, it's going to be fun and you're a pro at this. So you've got the eye, so you'll not have a problem with it at all.
I think so too. Like I said, it's one of my favorite things about furniture refinishing in general, in my own pieces and seeing other pieces, is seeing these dramatic makeovers and flips. So this makes it even more fun because now we're kind of pushing you guys to do this on a specific timeline. And this is another thing that I said in my stories, you guys, the uglier the piece you start with, the better chance you have. I've been seeing some of your guys' candidates so far. A lot of them are really good, as in they're good because they're so ugly. but I want to remind you guys, just because a piece may need a lot of work, you know, maybe it's falling apart, or it maybe the finish has worn off or something like that, doesn't necessarily qualify it for an ugly duckling, in my opinion. An ugly duckling to me has to be a piece that you look at and you see it, and just like I said, nobody would want that. You would think that, how would anyone ever have this in their house? That should go to the curb. It's just so ugly. I think of Jeanette's piece in the first furniture flip. Mm-hmm. And I remember it just being, we called it the hodgepodge cabinet. Mm-hmm. And it was just like the only word for it that I have for it. It was just ugly. I could not have imagined like anybody wanting that piece in their house. Mm-hmm. And what she did to that was made it a piece that, wow, like how much is that? Where can I put this? I want it. So that's the kind of ugly duckling that I will be looking for.
Yeah. And that's a really good point, because one of the things that this particular flip does is it really emphasizes the incredible transformations that take place in furniture refinishing by the refinishers, because we've often said this, furniture refinishers, there's a multitude of different tasks involved, but one of those tasks is being a designer. I mean, being able to look at the structure of a piece of furniture that you have that you're starting out with, and how can I make it beautiful? And that's what this flip is all about. But it's really all about the drama of it. And you said that earlier, Jen, like the most dramatic flip. So if you think about, you know, here's point A. Point A is the ugly duckling. Point B is the swan. There needs to be a huge gap between point A and point B, to the point where it's like, how in the world is this point B, this item B, how is it anything at all like item A? You know, I mean, it's just the more drama, the better, right?
Exactly. And I think, you know, just to piggyback on what you just said, like we are looking for your vision for the piece. It's not just about like fixing this piece. The drawers mm-hmm. are broken. One is hanging out. We all know that that is a huge part of furniture refinishing, but we are looking at the part that other people who don't do this don't necessarily get or feel or see. It's mm-hmm. it's your vision. You know, you see this piece that, you know, a non-furniture refinisher would just, oh my gosh, that's ugly. But yeah. but you see the potential in it. You see the vision for it. And we want to see that. I know myself in my career, and I'm sure other refinishers have heard this too. It's one of the comments that I get a lot is, oh my gosh, that doesn't even look like the same piece. Or how is that the same piece? And I think that's kind of what we're looking for. We want those really dramatic makeovers.
Yeah, it's just, it's that wow experience. So you were talking about the date, the importance of the 17th, and the fact that for a couple of days you'll be reviewing through those. And just to emphasize to our listeners that as they participate, the 17th is a really, really, really crucial date. You have to post on that date, as Jen mentioned, even if you posted it earlier. And you got to post your before and after, and you have to use the hashtag Zebra Furniture Flip, but also make sure you tag our IG accounts, Jen's account, as well as ours. And what's going to happen is on November 22nd, the three finalists will be announced on a special edition of the Zebra Before and After podcast on this podcast. And it'll be showcased thereafter on enjoyzebra.com, where public voting will begin. And you get to participate. So we're going to really, and we encourage you to, once the winners have been chosen, and even if you were a participant but you didn't get chosen, share with your friends and family, your followers, to go out and vote. Because again, one of the important aspects of doing something like this is to grow the industry. Not just grow the industry as far as having more refinishers, although that's great, but also bringing awareness to the industry. Because there's still a lot of people out there that don't know what's taking place in the furniture refinishing world, that they can find pieces that are original, one-of-a-kind pieces that they can find nowhere else, that they can keep for generations and generations. So we want to continue to grow and build that. Then on December 1st, The winner is announced on the Zebra Before and After podcast and showcased thereafter on enjoyzebra.com. So it'll kind of go, so once the winners, three winners have been chosen, then it'll sort of flow over the holidays for the Thanksgiving holiday here in the United States from November 22nd through December 1st. And on December 1st, the winner will be announced. And of course, the big deal here too is that we want to really highlight those three winners, the finalist and the winner, and that will be done here on the podcast as well as we talk about those pieces that they worked on, and they'll receive an award, a framed award, as well as some paintbrush kits from Zebra. Jen, I have to ask, and you've already talked about this a bit, but am I assuming that your enjoyment in this is just seeing that big transformation?
It really is. That's a huge part of it, because it's just, that's always been a one of my favorite aspects of doing this. But I also really love like seeing the excitement of the people, not only the people who are participating, but of the audience. Last time I had so much fun with that, because I just, you know, received lots of feedback and messages about people really truly being excited about it. I think the three participants that we had, they learned and grew from this experience, and it just like, it like made me proud. It made me happy. So it was so fun. So that's another part that I'm really looking forward to this time as well. Yeah. I think this is an opportunity, you know, like I said, it's open to everyone. So if you've been doing refinishing furniture for 7+ years, like I have, you can enter. If you just started last month, you can enter. Like, let's see what you can do. Let's have fun with it.
Yeah. Well,
like you said, Lane, too, sorry to interrupt, but this is not only getting exposure out there for the industry, but think about what it could do for you personally in your business, especially if you are pretty new to this, to say that you might have this award-winning piece, or, you know, it's really going to help grow your business, your account as well. One more thing that I wanted to mention to you guys about our rules and the dates and timelines is that if you do not have an ugly duckling yet, or if you don't find one for a few days or weeks, it is okay. Let's say you find one on November 10th, you can still jump in and join. So if you have one now, or if you find one soon and you're already getting started, great. But if you haven't found the perfect ugly duckling yet and don't find it for a while, don't feel like it is too late to enter. You can enter at any time as long as that piece is done and posted on November 17th.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I'm glad you brought that up. I guess the only thing is if they, of course, the later they find it, the less time they have to flip it. But honestly, that makes it kind of exciting too.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, obviously, you know, the more time, the better. But some people work better under a time crunch. And yeah, it increases the excitement, because we're gonna see some people working on them now, and then somebody may jump in last minute and wow us. And I think that'll be fun.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I was just going to say, I was going to put a plug in for you, because you have done some incredible transformations. And I know when we started out with the spring flip, you know, we had to highlight some pieces, and we pulled from your pieces because there was so much drama between them. And so, you know, hats off to you, because you know how to do it really, really well. You know how to take something that, again, most people would pass by and make something incredibly beautiful out of it. And you've been successful at it. So, it only goes without saying that, you are a ideal host for this, flip. And so we're excited to see what you're going to choose. And we'll be thinking about you as you pour through all those ugly ducklings.
Good. Well, thank you so much. I love being able to do that.
Well, we announced this on Friday, as we mentioned, and as Jen said as well, we've already seen a lot of response. The excitement is starting, and it's really neat to see, as Jen said as well, just the excitement of you guys, like, you know, hey, I got to go find my piece, and starting to showcase those. And you know, take us along when you go. If you're out looking for a flip, you know, tag us there.
Right.
Just show us the excitement that you have. And as you're out shopping, a lot of people like to see that. Well, Again, make sure you participate by using the hashtag Zebra Furniture Flip and tag Zebra Painting and Perfectly Imperfect Furnitures. That way we can follow along. We'll be highlighting some of your work on our stories and creating reels and TikToks periodically. So you know what? It's a lot of excitement that lies ahead. We're eager to see what's going on. And, you know, let's see, what should we say, Jen? Go duck hunting?
Let's go duck hunting.
All right. Sounds good. Well, we'll be in touch, Jen. We've got some podcasts coming up where you and I will talk about what's happening and even chatting maybe with some folks that are participating.
Yes, I'm so excited. I can't wait.
All right. You take care.
Okay. Thanks, Lane.
Today's refinishing tip comes from Sarah with Pop Salvage.
Hi guys, it's Sarah from Pop Salvage. Today I'm sharing a fun refinishing tip about making fabric drawer liners. My favorite method involves using fabric stiffener, which comes in either a liquid or a spray. So first you want to coat your cutout pieces of fabric in the stiffener, then lay it flat to dry, or you can iron it to speed up the drying process. Once it's dry, it'll be stiff like a board. Next, if you have any wrinkles, you can opt to spray it with a little starch and iron it a bit more until they're nice and smooth. Then you can easily trim them down to get the perfect fit and slide them right into the drawer. This means they're also easily removable in case they get dirty or the client decides they want to change them out. And a little bonus tip, I like to spray my favorite essential oils onto the fabric to make it smell really good inside. Fabric is an economical and creative alternative to the usual drawer liners that we often use, and they're more gentle for pieces like buffets where clients store china or silver. Happy refinishing. I hope you enjoyed this furniture refinishing tip.
Great recommendations on how to install fabric for drawer liners, Sarah. Thanks so much. It's time to hear what your refinishing friends are up to. Here are a few reporting on what they're working on in their studios this week.
Hey everyone, this is Yana from the Freckled Farmhouse, and I wanted to share what I'm working on this week with you guys. So I am currently working on this big, beautiful, mid-century modern dresser. It has 9 drawers, and it's going to be beautiful. I am painting it jet black. I am removing the old legs and adding some gold hairpin legs and probably some lined paper drawers to it. So stay tuned. I can't wait to show it to you guys. Bye.
Hey guys, this is Rosie with Rosie's Rustics. And currently this week, I'm working on a few pieces. I have a lane chest. I'm doing a cool teal tone, kind of fun boho eclectic look. And I do have another piece of vanity that needed a lot of repairs. It had peeling veneer. So for that piece, I actually used a paintable wallpaper, which is pretty cool. I've used it a couple times. I love how it just hides imperfections and makes a piece pop. If you want to see what these pieces are going to look like, follow me for more at Rosie's Rustics.
Hi, my name is Deb Alford, and my furniture refurbishing business is called My Stroke of Whimsy. This week, I am ambitiously planning to start 2 new projects, an antique stand-up knitting box in need of some love, and a few minor repairs, and a sweet vintage solid wood dresser. My vision for the knitting box is to paint it in the spirit of a gray wool sock with red and white striping on one end. I'm planning to gift it to my niece once it's completed, who has her own hand knitting business. The dresser was a curbside find that my friend snatched up for me in her neighborhood. It has 2 small and 2 large drawers, some decorative molding, and cute legs already in place. Now, depending on what I find under the previous bad paint job, I may go for a stained top and painted body and drawers. So now it's just a question of paint color and finding the whimsical factor. And then, of course, getting started. Hope you have a good week, fellow furniture artists, and thanks for checking in with My Stroke of Whimsy.
Thank you, friends. Listeners, make sure you go check out their social media feeds. Thanks for hanging with us to the end as we have some announcements that will provide you with opportunities to get noticed. The October Zebra Review Contest is all about pinks, and it's in honor of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. This emphasis is in memory of so many who have experienced the ravaging effects of this terrible disease and in honor of those who have overcome. We dedicate this month to you. Please note that any pieces you have refinished in a pink or pinks may be entered as long as it was refinished between October 1st, 2021 and October 31st, 2021. Along with Zebra, we have teamed up with Farmhouse Paint, D. Lawless Hardware, and Surf Prep Sanding. Make sure you follow our sponsors just mentioned, as well as our judges, Perfectly Imperfect Furniture Restoration, Katie Cloud, Salvaged by K. Scott, Portland Rose Studio, and Sitting Pretty Home Decor. When you post your pieces, make sure you use the hashtag TheZebraReview. The Zebra Collective is back and celebrating the autumn equinox. Autumn brings coziness, changing landscape, and cool nights. There are so many ways to capture all the fall feels through furniture design. Make sure you tag your pieces with our hashtag Zebra Collective when posting and follow all of the prize sponsors and judges. Zebra Painting, Wise Owl Paint, Saltwash Official, East Willow Co., Steelbert Studios, Olive and Fern, Blush Vintage, and 1379 Design. Only furniture refinished from January 1st, 2021 through October 31st, 2021 may be entered. We can't wait to see your autumn-inspired pieces. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Zebra Blogs Before and After Furniture Refinishing Podcast. Today's episode is also featured on our enjoyzebra.com site, along with contact information for today's guest. Your comments and suggestions for future episodes are always welcome. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and happy refinishing.